This is the EWN Radio Network.
You've waited. You've wished. You've hoped. You've dreamed. Now it's time to act. Time to move toward the life you want to live. This is EWN Radio, and you're listening to Love, Trust, and Pixie Dust with your host, Leslie Green.
Hello, this is Leslie Green, and you're listening to Love, Trust, and Pixie Dust on EWN Radio, a show that every week sets its sights on encouraging you to live your life to the fullest. And to do that, we use this radio show to focus on learning to love ourselves, to trust ourselves so that we're then able to trust others. And we also want to learn how to tap into our pixie dust, our belief system, all along the way. If you missed last week's show with Sandra Yancey, the founder and CEO of eWomen Network, I would highly encourage you to go to pixiedustradio.com and listen to it. It was called Small Shifts That Make a Huge Difference. It's a whole show on shifting your beliefs one at a time, your pixie dust, and finding a happy medium to where you can use those beliefs to better serve you. But today's show is about love. It's about self-love. Loving yourself often shows up in how we honor ourselves, what we make time for. And we typically make time for things that matter to us, things like our children. So that's why I'm so excited to introduce to you today Amy Egan, certified life and parenting coach to Love, Trust, and Pixie Dust. Welcome, Amy. Thank you for being here.
Oh, I'm happy to be here, Leslie. Thanks for having me.
So, Amy, you're a certified life coach as well as a certified parenting coach, and I'd like to discuss both of those with you today on the show. But before we do that, could you tell us a little about yourself, what led you to where you are today, and specifically, how and why did you become a parenting coach?
I would love to do that. It is my passion to tell people the story. I would say that I got into parenting a little later in life. I was an older mom, and after about the first couple of years, I became quite disenchanted, as I'm sure others do, when I realized that my child didn't want to do what I wanted and needed him to do. So we had a power struggle set up, and as the years went by, I became more and more frustrated and unhappy because I was concerned about the future. I was concerned where he would be when he was a teenager, or if how our relationship would be later in my life when I was old. Would I look back and regret, have a lot of regrets about my parenting? And I'm the type that's a self-help junkie. I was always reading different books about how to be a better person and how to be a better parent, and all of that was helpful, but none of it really came to me in the heat of the moment. And so I ended up doing a search and finding a parenting program that really hit the nail on the head for me. It was just what I needed. It fit my personality. It was short, sweet, to the point, direct. And I found that it turned my family life around with both of my children. And a couple of years later, I went and got trained in the method. It's called Love and Logic. Some of your listeners have, I'm sure, heard of it. It's based in Golden, Colorado. I became trained. I started teaching it at elementary schools and church PTAs and things like that. I just loved sharing it with other people. And then some parents would come to me afterwards and they'd say, could I meet with you privately? There are some things I don't want to share in front of the group. So I started meeting with people privately, which led me to, I had been contemplating it anyway, going ahead and getting a coaching certification, which is what I did. And so that started my private practice. So that's it in a nutshell.
That is a beautiful story. So you had a problem, and instead of complaining about it, and instead of doing nothing about it, you decided to do something about it. And in the process, you found Love and Logic, which I love what you said about Love and Logic. It is straight to the point, direct. And on top of that, it gets really good results. I've seen it myself, and I've noticed that when I don't use it, I get no results and I beat my head up against the wall. So tell us a little bit about Love and Logic, kind of the premise behind it, and for those who don't know, because by the way, there are Love and Logic schools out there, which I think is so cool. But tell us a little bit about it for those who don't know anything about it.
I would love to do that. And first, I want to address something you just mentioned about complaining instead of complaining about it. And something that I noticed was a lot of parents just complained about their children and sort of felt like they'd been treated unfairly by receiving this child that's very difficult, or a child who's strong-willed or hard-headed. And I fell into that category as well. And then at some point I woke up and realized I'm the adult here, and this is my challenge. This is not his challenge. I'm the only one I have control over. If our relationship is going to change, because I'm talking about a five-year-old here, it has to be me that needs to find the answer. So that, I would say, was pivotal for me. And I hope for some of your listeners that will be pivotal as well, because complaining about your child doesn't do any good. As a matter of fact, it just erodes the relationship more. So
Amy, I can tell you now that there are people out there who just had an aha moment, because what you said was very aha-like. And I hope people do take your word. So, oh, yeah, I got a little chill hearing you talk there. That was wonderful. Thank you. Beautiful, Amy.
Well, I'm glad. I hope it is helpful to some. And let me say this, too. I think the biggest, I don't want to say offenders of this, but I can't think of another word while we're on the radio to better suit it. The biggest offenders of this are parents of teenagers. And I think that to complain about, oh, well, this is just the way it is in the teen years, they're just awful and they're just rebellious, and then to commiserate with other parents constantly only feeds that negative energy, and at some level the kids pick it up, and you're just feeding a poor relationship with gasoline. So I'm glad you like that. I do think it's pretty key. And then your other question, I believe, was the premise of Love and Logic?
Yes.
Okay. In a nutshell, what I would say is that the difference between love and logic and most of our knee-jerk parenting is that we actually encourage mistakes. We want, as a love and logic parent, to promote affordable mistakes, affordable poor choices, affordable misbehavior, because that's when people really learn. It isn't from being told what to do. It's from learning the hard way. So as we go about our day, what I used to do and what I notice lots of my coaching clients doing is trying to prevent their kids from making mistakes. And so they have this backpack on their back that weighs thousands of pounds because it's carrying responsibilities that actually belong to their children. And they're constantly trying to get them to not be cold, to not be hungry, to not be thirsty, to not be tired, to not have friends be mad at them, to not get in trouble at school because they forgot their homework or they were disrespectful. And it's just, well, you can imagine. Now you're worrying about however many children you have. You're worrying about your own life, and you're worrying about all of this with them. So with Love and Logic, you learn that those things actually belong to your kids. And when you give those things to your kids, initially they may not do well with them, but in the end they tend to make better choices, and then they do better in life and have higher self-esteem. So the recipe is, and you can write this down on a piece of paper. If you go over to the left side of the paper and you write down poor choice or mistake, and then you draw a little arrow going toward the right, and then you draw empathy. You write the word empathy. Because what is your normal reaction, Leslie, or anybody's reaction? I'm not putting you on the spot. But
what is our normal reaction? Before Love and Logic, or when I just have a lapse, it's, oh my gosh, why did you do that? What would make you do that? Or I would fix it, maybe even fix it before it broke, because I see it coming and I don't want them to hurt, or I don't want them to, that's it. I don't want them to suffer in any way. So I rob them of the experience, because I go in and I swoop in and I save the day before they get a chance to screw up.
So I love that you said that you don't want them to hurt and you don't want them to have the lesson. And then I'm going to throw out another one that I see a lot of parents, the reason they jump in and swoop in and try to prevent their kids from making mistakes is because it's going to reflect poorly on them. They are afraid that they will look like a bad parent. So, of course, you aren't that person.
Bad. Right. No, I did it just the other day. I don't want to look bad.
Of course we don't. Of course we don't. We all have fragile egos, but you're right, we rob our kids. So with this little flow chart, we have over on the left, we have poor choice or mistake, and then followed by a little empathy, and empathy can be, oh, bummer, or, oh, that's so sad. And then you follow that with another arrow, and then there's the consequence. You write the word consequence, and then you follow that with an equal sign, and you can write wisdom. So as we go through that flow chart, we can take an example of, let's say a child, well, this happened at my house. My daughter left her bike out in the driveway, laying down, and so that was the mistake, and then that was followed by, well, me backing out of the garage and running over the bike. Ouch. And, of course, initially I was angry, but I had time to catch myself. And I caught my breath, and I took a few deep ones, and I walked in the house, and I called her name, and I called her downstairs, and I said, this is so sad, but your bike was out in the driveway laying down, so I couldn't see it, and I ran over it. So then the consequence would be that she has a broken bike. She gets to buy herself a new one or ride it broken if it's possible, or not ride a bike. She gets to walk to school because in our neighborhood we walked or rode bike to school, and, of course, the bike is a lot faster. And so what happened was she made the choice to just continue riding it broken because she didn't have enough money to buy a new one. So for the rest of the school year, she'd go down that driveway, cha-chung, cha-chung, cha-chung. And it was quite funny. When she got old enough and big enough and we were naturally going to buy her a new bike anyway, then what we did not do is put salt in the wound. So that's what I'm encouraging everyone listening to this. Please, if you want this little formula to work really well, don't add salt to the wound. Now, in case you don't know what I'm talking about, salt would have looked like we get her a new bike and we get down in her little face and say, now, where are you going to store your bike? Remember what happened to the last one. And none of us like this. I mean, imagine if you were in a hurry and you were cleaning up after dinner and you were rushing because you wanted to go to your yoga class and you dropped a plate on the floor and it meant a lot to you and you were very sad. So the next night, let's say you're cleaning the dishes and your husband comes over to you and puts his finger in your face and says, now are you going to be more careful tonight or you think you might break another dish? Remember what happened last night. How do you feel when he
I'm thinking I might break his teeth. Instead
yes.
of another dish.
And are you, so after you decide not to break his teeth, but you're really angry, are you angry at yourself for the night before the mistake you made, or are you now placing that anger on him?
I'm placing the anger on him, and I'm feeling a little bit like a, I don't know, I'm feeling a little bit like a loser that, you know, you pointed it back out to me, and don't you think that I already learned a lesson? What do you think, I'm dumb? You know, do you not see that it hurt me when I did it? But, yeah, I'm pretty angry at him at this point.
Perfect. Everything you said is what our kids feel when we put salt in the wound, and we wonder why they don't have high self-esteem. We tell them how much we love them and how wonderful they are all day long, and then when they make a mistake, we act like they are too stupid to learn from it. So you said it, you hit the nail on the head. Yes, that is why we do not want to put salt in the wound. So if your formula can be child makes a poor choice, you follow that by a little empathy from you, which is very brief, like, oh, bummer. And the consequence, which is you may have to engineer a consequence, and you may need time to think about that, and you get to tell your child that. Or it may be a natural consequence where they have a broken bike. And you don't put salt in the wound. You are upping the odds that your child's going to learn from that. If you continue to do this on a regular basis, and none of us does it all the time, we are human beings, but if you can do this on a regular basis, you are increasing the odds that your child will make better choices as life goes on. And then, I mean, how do you feel when you're a person who makes a lot of good choices?
Oh, I feel like a rock. I feel like a rock star.
Absolutely. And that is where self-esteem comes from. It does not come from us telling them they're wonderful, although that's a great thing to do too because we want them to feel loved. But real self-esteem comes from taking on responsibility and handling it well.
All right. Well, coming up, Amy Egan will share with us not only why setting boundaries is one of the most loving things that we can do for ourselves, but she'll also share with us how to do it. So don't go away. We'll be right back.
Do you struggle with trusting in your life right now? Is there something that keeps creeping up in your business life or personal life that you're not sure why you're having such a difficult time letting go of it? Or maybe you've experienced something for the first time and it just doesn't feel quite right. Something you'd like to talk over with someone else who maybe isn't quite so close to the situation? If the message of trusting yourself and loving yourself resonates with you, but you feel you'd like a little more, why don't you visit pixiedustradio.com and set up some time to talk to Leslie one-on-one. Right now, she's offering 20-minute complimentary trust consultations to do just that, to dive deeper with you. Leslie would like to better understand what it is you may be struggling with and offer whatever wisdom and strategies she has gleaned over the years to apply directly to your specific situation. You'll be amazed at how much you can accomplish in just 20 minutes. And this goes without saying, but she wanted to make sure you know. Everything you discuss is completely confidential. Leslie's goal for everyone, her listeners, readers, even for herself, is to be able to inch closer to a true feeling of peace in our everyday lives. And because of that, she is happy and honored that you trust her enough to share a part of your life with her. For your complimentary 20-minute trust consultation, simply go to pixiedustradio.com to sign up. All one word, pixiedustradio.com. And now let's rejoin Love, Trust, and Pixie Dust with your host, Leslie Green.
Thank you for joining us today on Love, Trust, and Pixie Dust. Today we're speaking with Amy Egan, certified life coach as well as parenting coach, and we're discussing power struggles with our kids. But before we officially ramp up, let's take a moment. I got so excited during the first segment. My energy got really, really high. Let's take a moment to just bring our energy down as we set our intention. And our intention is this: may we be open to receive whatever gifts await us during our time together. May we recognize them as such, give thanks, and breathe them in. And so it is. All right. As I said, today we are discussing power struggles with our kids and what can you do about it. So just to be clear here, when it comes to our children, we all want the very best. So when Amy was talking about, you know, encouraging and promoting affordable mistakes, we're going to talk to her about that because I want her to explain to us, you know, what affordable means versus unaffordable mistakes. But when it comes to our kids, we all want the very best for them. That I can pretty much say is a blanket statement, and we can take that to the bank. But as parents, we often find ourselves lost. And you know, what a horrible feeling. Our kids, the most thing that I can think of, and to feel lost with them, I mean, just saying that gives me a little bit of a pit in the bottom of my stomach feeling. So regardless of your child's age, whether they're toddlers, elementary school, middle, high school, college, as you know as well as I do, these battles occur and stresses seem to take on a life of their own. So today's show is for you, the person who is ready to stop beating your head against the wall, doing the same thing with no change in your child's behavior. It's for you, the person who is ready to stop losing sleep at night thinking, there must be a better way. If only someone would tell me what to do, I'd gladly do it. Well, today we have just that person, Amy Egan, certified, and I say expert, parenting coach.
So, Thank you, Leslie.
You're welcome. You've coached me out of several jams. And let me just tell you, Amy has coached me via phone. She's coached me in person. She's coached me in a group setting. And no, she's not paying me to say any of this. And she's also coached me via email all the way when we used to live in the UK. I mean, she makes herself very accessible. So Amy, just can I say thank you for all of the coaching that you've provided and all of the very few gray hairs that I have, because I don't have gray hairs. I've learned how to use love and logic when I, you know, am present enough to use it. But can you start off by talking to us a little bit about affordable mistakes. What would be an affordable mistake?
Well, and it varies, of course, by age. And let me say that if there are any parents listening who their children are adults now, it's still not too late, because this is really just about relationship boundaries. That's really all it is. So you can do this with an adult child. You can do this with a spouse, with a mother-in-law, with a neighbor, anyone. So, yes, let's say affordable mistakes for a little child, let's say a toddler, might be not eating enough for dinner or playing with their food, and so you take it away and put it away and the meal is over. And again, you're going to follow your flow chart and you're not going to get angry. Well, sometimes we do, and give yourself a break. That does happen sometimes. But if you're following the flow chart, you're going to have a little empathy, like, uh-oh, looks like dinner is over, and you put the dinner in the dog bowl or the garbage disposal or whatever, and the child gets down, and then that's the end of the meal. And you're going to say, but he won't sleep. Well, if he has a little juice before bed or something, he'll probably sleep, and very likely he'll wake up alive in the morning, so you don't have to worry about that.
Yeah.
But playing with food is a big issue for people with toddlers, or let's say they throw a fit in Target because they want a toy. So just moving on and not getting the toy, or perhaps taking them to the car and just letting them have the fit out in the car, or perhaps you need to take them home and come back without them, something like that. But maybe for an elementary child, let's say they habitually forget their lunch. If your child rarely forgets their lunch, I'm not saying to not take it up to school for them. But if they're relying on you to remember, then you want to stop remembering. And when they don't have their lunch and they have to have a cheese sandwich at school, then that's the consequence. And when they come home and say, because you wouldn't bring me my lunch, I had to have a cheese sandwich, and then you give them empathy and say, wow, that's a bummer, and you move on, and you don't remind them the next day, where's your lunch? Remember what happened yesterday? For a high schooler, it might be, there's so many different things. I know this is scary for people, but I'm going to put this one out there. A high schooler might be, maybe you have a driver and you suspect that they've been drinking, or that they've gone to parties where there's drinking. Then you maybe take the keys to the car and say, until I'm confident that you do not drink, I don't loan my car out. And by the way, even if you have a car for that child to drive, let that be your car. You own the car. You don't gift the child with the car, because if there's no sweat equity involved, that child's not going to be very responsible, most likely. So those are just some examples.
Okay. Gosh, and I'm guessing that you've probably heard hundreds of examples over the years, and those are all things that we can relate to. Talk to us a little bit, Amy, about boundaries and how setting boundaries is a loving thing. It's actually self-love when we set boundaries. So can you talk to us a little bit about that self-love piece?
Absolutely. That's one of my favorite topics. Boundaries is a great way. Well, first of all, in parenting, every minute that you're with your child, you're modeling in some way. And would you prefer to model a person that has no boundaries, or that has weak or wimpy boundaries, or would you like to model a person who has firm and loving boundaries? Because when your child is old enough to be away from you most of the time, we'll just throw high school out there again, parties, who do you want your child to have inside of them? Someone who had weak boundaries or someone who had firm boundaries? So I think here's the other thing about self-love is we think it's selfish, and we think maybe it's mean to have boundaries and to come down on our kids and hold them accountable and have consequences. And actually, it's meaner not to. So I noticed when I started putting this program into practice that I became more respected by my children. Mm-hmm. Prior to that, my boundaries were wishy-washy, and I didn't get the respect that I thought I deserved, and I did as a parent, but I wasn't earning the respect. But once I put up firm boundaries and I didn't let them talk me down, come over those boundaries, get me to cave, I started noticing that they respected me more. And a child that has high respect for their parent is going to feel good about themselves. It's been proven that if a kid does not respect their parents, they have lower self-esteem. That's actually hard on them, to not respect their parents. And think about it. When you've had a boss or your own parents or your own grandparents or someone else's parents, a teacher, when that person did not have firm boundaries, how did you feel about them?
If I could walk all over them, I didn't have a lot of respect.
Right. And I've got a quick story to tell about that. Once your kids get into middle school, you don't have a lot of contact with teachers unless your child is in a lot of trouble. So I didn't really know my son's teachers when he was in middle school, but other than meet the teacher night. So one time I was up at school volunteering for a school lunch, and I ran into a couple of teachers that I vaguely remembered from meet the teacher night. And one of them was going on about my son and how wonderful he was. And I was so proud. My head was so big I could hardly get out the door. And later that evening, I had my son in the car with me, and I told him about these. Actually, it was two teachers that I was talking to and how they spoke very highly of him. And he said, oh, who was it? Well, of course, I couldn't remember their names. And he said, let me guess. It's one of the teachers that has really good control of the class. And I said, what do you mean by that? And he said, well, if a teacher has really good control of the class, I'm like an angel. And if they don't have control over the class, I'm like a devil. And my heart sank. My head deflated totally. And I said, so what you're telling me is if a teacher doesn't have control of the class, good control, you don't have respect for them. But if they do have control of the class, you have the utmost respect for them and you act differently. And he said, yep, exactly.
Well, spoken, you know, right from the mouth of babes there. So, if our kids have wonderful lessons to teach us when we stop and listen. So, Amy, on each show, we have either three love tips, three trust tips, or three pixie dust tips. And since today is a show about love, I'm just listening to what you're saying, and you're actually providing the love tips, whether you know it or not. And our first love tip of the day, and these will be up on pixiedustradio.com after the show, the first love tip of the day is the loving thing to do, and really for all involved here, the loving thing to do is to have firm boundaries. All right, so with that, we need to go ahead and take another commercial here. We'll be back in a little bit. Don't go away. I am very eager to hear what Amy Egan has to share with us when we return.
Hi, I'm Sandra Yancey, founder and CEO of eWomen Network. One of my mottos for business owners is, you can't do it alone. Whether you're in the startup stage of your business or you're scaling, you can't grow without relationships to provide support, wisdom, and new customers. eWomen Network is your home to connect with other women entrepreneurs who've been where you are or are experiencing the same challenges. We have chapters across the U.S. and Canada that have monthly events featuring our trademarked process called accelerated networking to ensure you get the contacts, resources, and leads you need to grow your business. And once you become a member, you get many benefits, including 2 one-on-one coaching sessions, unlimited access to our membership database, your own personal profile page, and discounts on products and services with our business partners such as UPS and American Express Open. Join the eWomen Network community and let us help you live your dream. For details, visit eWomenNetwork.com.
Do you struggle with your weight or your health? Do you wish you had more energy to do the things you really want to do? Are you tired of counting calories and fad dieting? Do you want to eat your favorite foods and not feel guilty? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then the Eat Great, Live Well personalized wellness program is the answer for you. Being healthy isn't about fad dieting, feeling guilty, or eating nothing but tofu and wheatgrass. It's about making small, healthy choices that add up over time to create life-changing transformation for you and your family. The Eat Great, Live Well personalized wellness program will show you how easy it is to be healthy, happy, and well-fed all at the same time. Visit eatgreatlivewell.com for more information or to enroll in this life-changing program. You deserve to both eat great and live well. Check it out today at eatgreatlivewell.com.
Hello and welcome back to Love, Trust, and Pixie Dust with our guest, Amy Egan. Amy, excuse me, Amy's here talking to us about struggles that we all have with our kids. And right before the break, she was speaking to us about boundaries, which really ties so well into self-love. So at this time, I'd like to go ahead and share our quote for the day, which is by the Buddha, and it is, "You can search throughout the entire universe for someone who is more deserving of your love and affection than you are yourself. And that person is not to be found anywhere. You, yourself, as much as anybody in the entire universe, deserve your love and affection. Again, by the Buddha. And with that, that really encapsulates a lot of what Amy Egan is sharing with us today, that on the surface, it may look like the loving thing to do is to rescue our children. But instead, we have a little shift in our belief system, that pixie dust. We shift our belief to saying, you know what, I just robbed my child of an opportunity to grow into who they were meant to be, to learn from this, to be more self-sufficient, and to have higher self-esteem. But on the surface, a lot of times we don't get that. So that's why we have parenting experts, certified parenting coaches like Amy Egan, who can work with you remotely. I mean, you don't have to be here in the Dallas, Texas area. So Amy, let's get back to talking about some of these boundaries and mistakes. Gosh, let's talk about mistakes here. So we want our children to make mistakes. I know that my boys both missed the bus one day this week, day before yesterday, and it was tough. Had it not been one of those standardized testing dates for the younger one, I really didn't have the time to do it, but I made the time. This morning, I was kind of rubbing my hands together like the mwahaha, like you just missed the bus, because I think taxis come out here. And, like, wouldn't that be great if a taxi, if they got on their phone, figured out how to call a taxi, and then out of their allowance they paid to be taken to school? Like, I was actually anticipating the mistake. Does that make me sick or what?
Actually, that does not make you sick. That makes you a good parent, because you're planning ahead and you're planning for mistakes and you're doing it for their betterment. That is the reason you're doing it. It isn't because you're a sadistic person. You're a very loving mom. I happen to know that about you. But it's an affordable mistake, and so you want them to learn it. And the sooner they learn it, the better for them. And it carries over. I mean, it won't just be – it doesn't mean that they'll be never late for anything again. But once – when people make restitution for their mistakes, they feel better about themselves. So once they've paid that taxi or paid that neighbor or whoever they're going to pay, or in whatever way the consequence appears, they feel better about themselves, and they tend to be less likely to have that happen again. So it's all good.
It's all good. So, Amy, the flow chart, the formula that you've been discussing that starts with poor choices and mistakes and leads to empathy and then leads to consequences, and you just kind of have your arrows across and then, you know, no salt in the wound there and equals wisdom. Do you actually have that in a format that you could send me and I could put on pixiedustradio.com after the show so parents could reference it, or is it something or not? Do you have it?
Sure, I could do that. That's an easy thing to do.
Okay,
and that is something that Love and Logic talks about that, but whenever I'm teaching a class, I put it up on the board, because I think that your listeners, if they can see it flowing like that, then it sticks in your brain.
Yes, because so many of us, I happen to be auditory, but so many people are visual first, visual learners. So that would be great. Thank you for that. Also, I'm going to go ahead and ask you now while it's on my mind, if, and we'll repeat this later, but if people would like to contact you to learn more, where would you recommend that they go?
Probably the best thing they can do is send me an email.
Okay. Where would you like them to send that?
That would be A as in Amy dot E-G-A-N 518 at sbcglobal.net, and I will spell that out because that's a tough one. But so it would be sambencatglobal.net.
Okay,
so
and not
A.E 518.
I can put a link as well right on pixiedustradio.com, and it'll take them right there. So easy enough. Okay, well, good. Well, Amy, talk to us a little bit more. I mean, do you have anything that you would like to sum up in our love tip number 2 around mistakes? And we can massage the words later because I'm kind of putting you on the spot here. But for our love tip number 2, do you have something around mistakes?
Well, I think that I love tip number two, because generally we hurt when our kids hurt, and when they make a mistake, it hurts us. So if we can switch that and see it as a great learning tool for them, an opportunity. I mean, remember the Chinese symbol for crisis and opportunity are the same thing. If we can remember that, it helps us to realize that we're doing a loving thing. And again, this isn't when their life is in danger. I'm not talking about something like that. And I'm also not talking about if they make a mistake in an area that isn't somewhat chronic. I tell the story that when my son was in seventh grade, I was in a meeting, and he called my cell phone and said, "Mom, remember the paper I wrote last night? I left it on the computer. I forgot to print it out, and I didn't bring it to school. Is there any way you could do that for me?" Well, he absolutely never asked me to do anything like that. He absolutely never forgot homework. I got up and left the meeting, went home, printed it off, and took it up to the school, because that was a loving thing to do. But if he were, some other things that I've mentioned, that they sort of chronically don't pick up their clothes, or they don't, well, then their clothes don't get washed, or they take their money to the mall and you feel like they shouldn't take their life savings to the mall and then they lose it, that's an affordable mistake. So it's all out of love that you allow these certain things to happen.
So you're not saying that you never rescue your child. There are circumstances when you rescue, like, you know, your son had never asked for you to do that sort of a favor for him, and so then you did it because that was the loving thing to do.
Yes, and that's an area that he was already responsible in. So if he were the kind of kid that sort of never got around to doing his homework or did a very slumpy job of it and was continually leaving it places and not being responsible with it, then I would want him to start learning the hard way. But that wasn't necessary in that case. So I did. The loving thing to do was to take it to him.
And when you say the loving thing to do, really it goes back to something that you mentioned, I think, in the first segment, maybe second, was around modeling, that we always want to be modeling for our children. So that was an example of you modeling the loving thing to do.
That's exactly right, yes. And it's also modeling when our children mess up and we have empathy for them and allow the consequence. That's also modeling. So that helps them to learn when other people mess up, they don't need to get angry or shame the other person.
Yes. Well, let's talk about modeling for a second, because a lot of times, I'm guilty of this myself, so my hand is up in the air, I'm raising my hand. So often I see parents who are so engaged with their cell phones that the child is talking to them, and I wonder, and some, you know, with myself as well, are they really listening? Is there any authentic listening going on, or is it just kind of and I know that sometimes, I mean, we're not perfect, and sometimes it happens where we really need to respond to something. But what can you tell us about authentic listening, and just where would you take us there?
Well, authentic listening is something I learned through another program, and it takes the love and logic, empathy, to another level. I started reading some books called How to Talk So Kids Will Listen and Listen So Kids Will Talk, or How to Talk So Teens Will Listen and Listen So Teens Will Talk. And the big key there is so they will talk. That's what we want. But in those programs, I learned that when my child is trying to communicate with me about something they're upset about, disappointed about, hurt, worried, my natural tendency is to try to make them feel better, because actually, Leslie, when our children are in pain or they're afraid or they're disappointed, how do we feel?
Yes, sometimes, you know, it's worse for me than it is for them, so I think.
Right, and so I want her or him to be over it as soon as possible, so I try to make them feel better. And actually, that's ineffective. So the greatest thing I can do when my child comes to me with a fear or a concern or a disappointment, you know, they didn't get invited to something or they didn't make the team or the teacher got mad at them that day or mistake them for someone else doing something wrong, whatever it might be, that's when I want to stop what I'm doing and I want to listen and I want to hear what they have to say. Now, my heart drops because they're in a lot of pain. And again, I want them to feel better. I want them to say, oh, you'll get invited to the next party, or you'll make the team next year, or you'll make the other team, or whatever it is. But I pull myself back and I stop, because that is not authentic listening. That's trying to make me feel better as well. So I simply validate that that person is in pain. I validate that that child is in whatever kind of pain they're in. And that might sound like, it sounds like you're really hurt about this. It sounds like you're very disappointed. I can tell you're sad. Would you like a hug? And I'm telling you, Leslie, this is as big as the other pieces that I've talked about. It's so huge when your child is upset or disappointed to just simply hear them and validate their feeling. And the point is, we want to get them from point A, which is sad and upset, to point B, which is happy and skipping off to play, but we can't pick them up and put them over there. They have to make that walk on their own. But if we can hear them and validate that they, in fact, are sad, they make that walk more smoothly and usually more quickly. I've been amazed that my child will just wipe her nose and move on once I've let her vent and just really share how concerned or worried or sad that she really is.
Mm-hmm. And really it goes back to this authentic listening. Amy's talking about it in the context right now of our children. But as Amy said before, these are, you know, relationship techniques, relationship boundaries, relationship modeling we're doing. It's not just about children. It works great with children, but everything that Amy's talking about with authentic listening, if I did that more with my husband, with my mother, with my brother, you know, with everyone in my life, I wonder what sort of depth we could get to in our relationship, because I was authentically there listening. And I bet that person would come back to me more often and share more. Because I tell you what, Amy, one thing, and maybe this is just a me thing, I am not fond of surface relationships. Mm-hmm. They're actually painful to me. And so if I can go deep with somebody, and not all the time, I mean, sometimes it's fun just to laugh and, okay, let's go get our nails done. Ha, ha, ha. This is fun. But for the most part, I want to make sure that I am forming relationships in my life that help me to grow into more of who I was put on this earth to be. And I want to be that person for somebody else. And in order to do that, I honestly think that listening might be the number one thing that people can do.
You know what, Leslie, you're completely right. And I tell people, if you want your children to come to you more often, this is the key. You want to listen to them without trying to fix the problem, unless they say, what do you think I should do? Or if you might offer something like, well, do you need any ideas? Other than that, it's validating the feeling that is going to create the kind of relationship where they're comfortable coming to you again and again and again.
That's what we want, because we want them coming to us before they necessarily go to one of their friends, because we don't know what kind of advice and words of quote-unquote wisdom that they're going to get from their peer who happens to be 16 or 13 or, you know, whatever the age is. So, yes, I want them coming to me. So when we return, we're going to put this all together, maybe shift gears a little bit with Amy, see what else she's got going on, and we will be back in just a moment.
Is some of this trust talk making sense, but you'd like to learn more? Do you learn better through story rather than step-by-step instructions? For some things, step-by-step instructions are a necessity. But when it comes to the softer skill things in life, things like learning to trust yourself and love yourself, the gentle nature and subtlety of a story can be a much better teacher. In Leslie's book, Love, Trust, and Pixie Dust, available in Amazon, she shares 50 true stories, all with loving yourself and trusting yourself as the main characters. You will also find chapters on letting go, finding your inner strength, the gift of surrender, and even an entire chapter dedicated to pixie dust. Yes, in case you're stumped, Leslie comes out and tells you what the pixie dust actually is. actually is and how you can apply its magic directly to your life. Not just another inspirational book full of feel-good stories. This book has teeth and will provide you with a practical approach on learning to love yourself and trust yourself. To find a place of inner peace. Take a spin for yourself. Read the first chapter completely free. Leslie's gift to you. Visit her blog, trustlifetoday.com, to receive a free copy of Chapter 1, You Are Not Alone. Or go directly to Amazon for your very own hard copy or ebook version of Love, Trust, and Pixie Dust. Begin today to experience the magic within. And now, let's rejoin Love, Trust, and Pixie Dust with your host, Leslie Green.
Hello and welcome back. If you've missed any of this show, all I have to say is bummer. That's my empathy for you, but I'm actually going to save you. You don't have a consequence here. The save is go to pixiedustradio.com after the show and listen to it from the very beginning. I don't want you to miss any of these words of wisdom that Amy Egan has been giving us. And Amy, I guess at this point, I want to know, what is the number one way to avoid or eliminate power struggles? Dive right in, girlfriend, and tell us, what would you tell us for that?
I would love to dive right into this one. This is the one that really turned my life around with my strong-willed son. The number one way to avoid, possibly even eliminate, power struggles with your child is to stop arguing with them. If you are a parent who has a child that you argue quite a bit with, this is the turning point for you. And why do we argue with our kids? I mean, let's say that the child wants to go to, we'll use an example of an older child. They want to go to a party, and we suspect the parents aren't going to be home. So we tell them, no, and I'm not comfortable with it. And then the child said, that's not fair. Everyone else gets to go. You're so rude. I can't even believe you're doing this. Leslie, what, you tell me, what's the reason then we rebuttal that?
What's the reason? Well, a lot of times I want my point to be made. I want him to hear me. I want to impart these words of wisdom. I mean, there's so many different reasons. Sometimes I just want to have the last word. Mm-hmm. I think that that's what a parent is supposed to do.
Right, right. Those are all great answers. And I would say the number one reason that we get in there and argue with our child is we're actually hoping, like you said, that they will look at us and say, you know what, Mom, I get it. You're right.
Yeah.
And has that ever happened?
No, never.
No, that does not happen. So rather than go down that rat hole, what we want to do is we want to explain once, you know, that party sounds really fun. I can see why you'd want to go. I'm not comfortable with it. I don't know the parents, and I've heard they're out of town a lot. And now your child comes back. No, they're not. They're going to be there. Everybody I know is going. Everyone else gets to go. On and on and on. Now you want to, instead of rebuttaling and increasing the intensity of your voice, you want to remain at the same level, if not even go down a notch. And come up, give them a one-liner. It might be, I know, it might be probably so, it might be, I understand, it might be, it doesn't work for me. There are a number of one-liners that you can use. You can make one up, like, not this time, whatever fits. And as your child starts throwing these things at you, and believe me, they are going to go for the jugular because they're strong people, and we want them to be strong people. So they aren't bad, they're doing what humans do. But we want to rebuttal with, let's just use I know. I like to use I know. So let's say your child is saying, everyone else gets to go. I'm the only one that isn't going to be there. I know. And by the way, when you're saying these one-liners, don't be eye-to-eye with your kid. This is when you want to be sweeping up the cat litter off the floor, stirring dinner. I like to say, metaphorically speaking, wiping the counter down. So you are going about your business, and they are the one trying to pull you in, and you are staying static by wiping the counters down or brushing your hair, whatever it is. And they're going to up it. So it didn't work when they said everyone gets to go. That's so unfair. They're going to up it to you're the worst mom. I don't know how you got to be a mom. They're going to try to hurt your feelings to pull you in. They're going to try to push your buttons. Please don't take it personally. Just go with it and let them say what they're going to say and just keep keep coming back with your one-liner, I know. And they may even say, I hate you. And you want to keep wiping that counter down or sweeping that floor and say, I know. But keep your voice at the same level. And when you have done this a number of times, guess what happens when your kids hear you come across with a one-liner?
What happens?
They know they're not getting what they're trying to get, and they stomp off. And stomping off is okay. It's okay to protest. That's okay. But you are not caving to what they're trying to get you to cave to. But in the big picture, so initially they're mad. They stomp up the stairs. They slam their door. They can't believe they don't get to go to this party, and they're so mad at you, and they want you to be in pain, but you're not going there. You're staying with, it doesn't work for me, or not this time, or I know. But in the big picture, your child will respect you for standing your ground and holding firm to your boundaries and keeping them safe. And that's what counts. It's the big picture. It's not that initial, you don't want your child to be mad at you. We can't go with that. We always lose. Everybody loses when that's what drives us. So we want to go with the big picture. In the big picture of the things, I want my child to see me staying firm in my boundaries. That's what I want to model. And I want my child to know that I'm trying to keep them safe. But I'm also not swayable. I'm not wishy-washy.
So many of things that you've shared with us, Amy, have really been win-wins. And how often do we get to be coached in a way that it's like everything that you've shared with us is a win-win? And these aren't small wins. I mean, my peace of mind, when I do this, I have huge sense of peace of mind. That's a big win. But even bigger of a win is for one of my sons, if I'm able to instill in them by using these techniques, self-confidence, raised self-esteem, knowing that when they leave, whether it's to go off to college or not, whatever they choose to do, that they don't need me to bail them out all the time.
That's right.
I think that's the thing that keeps people up at night, like, oh my gosh, are they going to, you know, even if it's at a subconscious level, it's, mm-hmm. you know, are they going to end up back here with me? So, Amy, you have given us so many wonderful parenting tips. And I know that one of Amy's passions is helping parents find a less stressful path to parenting. And let me tell you, everything that she's sharing with us, it is less stressful. Not necessarily in the beginning, though, right, Amy? Because they test in the beginning.
Absolutely, Leslie. So I want all of your listeners to know when you change things up and you start doing this, you will get more kickback. But that's normal. Just think about when you go to clean out a closet. The first 5 minutes in, does it look better or does it look worse?
Exactly.
It looks worse, but it's actually better because you're in the process. So expect the kickback. It doesn't mean it's not working.
Yes, so remember that. And then the other passion that Amy has is really around helping women find inner peace. And you know I'm digging all over this because my book, the show, the whole reason that I do what I do is to get to the inner peace. That's why I believe we trust. That's why I believe we love, all to get to the inner peace. So tell us a little bit, Amy, about this group that you co-founded called Inner Evolution. What is that about?
Well, a dear friend of mine who is also a life coach and I co-founded groups called Inner Evolution Group Life Coaching for Women. And we meet, we have a couple groups in Allen and we have one in Dallas. And we meet weekly. Women come when they can. They don't necessarily have to come every week, but we have found that the more they come, the more peace they find. And we teach, but we also listen because Robin and I are learning right along with everyone else. But we teach the tools to inner peace. A lot of that has to do with boundaries. A lot of that has to do with letting go. A lot of that has to do with trust. You understand all of these things more than anyone, Leslie. But when we talk about these things on a weekly basis and we share, the power of the group is amazing. The way the women support each other and the supportive, confidential, safe space that we have is a wonderful learning environment for all of us.
Beautiful. And I have spoken to some of these women who have used the words life-changing. It's life-changing for them. And if that doesn't give you chills running up and down your arms and back, I don't know what does. So Amy has shared so many wonderful things with us. If you'd like to reach Amy directly, that'll be on pixiedustradio.com at a.egan518@sbcglobal.net. You can also, if you want to find out more about her, I'm going to give you two different sites you can go to. You can either jot these down or head over to pixiedustradio.com to find them. But one of them is texasparenting.net, and the other one to find out more about Inner Evolution is innerevolutioncoaching.com. And they'll all be there. I also want to let you know, if you're in the Dallas area, Amy has a workshop coming up, a parenting workshop, on April 21st from 7:30 to 9 p.m. in McKinney, Texas. It's $20 per person and $30 per couple. So if you want to experience learning some of this face-to-face, this is one of the best ways that you can do it. The other thing that I wanted to share, because we're almost out of time here, I'll go ahead and recap the love tips on pixiedustradio.com, because I like to leave you with resources that you can practice for the next week. I don't like to leave you high and dry. So one of those things that I would like for you to practice is becoming aware. You know, our awareness is the first thing that taps us into and gets us kind of shaken up to whether we can say, okay, I need to become aware. Did I just pour salt in the wound, or was I about to pour salt in the wound? Am I following this flow chart of, you know, there's a mistake, and then did I swoop in and rescue? And it's okay if you did. Just become aware of it. And then you can say, okay, next time, let me see how I can inject some empathy into that. So just becoming aware. And then I'd like to leave you with, again, the reminder of the words from the Buddha, which you can search throughout the entire universe for someone who is more deserving of your love and affection than you are yourself, and that person is not to be found anywhere. You yourself, as much as anybody in the entire universe, deserve your love and affection. You can take that one to the bank. So until we meet again, remember you've got plenty of resources at your fingertips. Our guests are great resources as well. So please tap in to Amy Egan. And between now and next week, put some of these things into practice. If you have questions, don't hesitate to send Amy an email. Send me an email at leslie@trustlifetoday.com. I look forward to sharing with you again next Wednesday at noon Eastern, 11 a.m. Central. And Amy, can I just thank you from the bottom of my heart for sharing all of your wisdom with us. I mean, it's just, I feel like score, score, score. Thank you.
Absolutely, Leslie, and you're so welcome. Thank you for letting me talk about my passion, but also thank you for all the wonderful things that you're doing here on this radio network. This is just such a great resource for so many people.
Thank you. I appreciate those words. And as always, my prayer for you is this. May you lead your life by love and live your life with trust. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you for joining us today on Love, Trust, and Pixie Dust. We hope you enjoyed the show. Would you like to find out more about what it means to love yourself and trust yourself? Well, don't wait until next week. Go visit TrustLifeToday.com, where Leslie has been sharing about love and trust since January of 2011, which is a long time in the blogging world. Long enough to build up a hefty supply of resources just for you, making Trust Life Today the ideal place for you to visit between radio shows. The site is full of articles on not only loving yourself and trusting yourself, but also on forgiveness, letting go, celebrating life, and much more. Visit TrustLifeToday.com. Poke around. Leave Leslie a message. Let her know how she can better serve you. And while you're there, why don't you sign up to receive original writings? Only about 2 per month, so nothing that will be too taxing on your inbox. Thank you again for tuning in today. We look forward to having you back next Wednesday at noon Eastern Standard Time on Love, Trust, and Pixie Dust.
This is the EWN Radio Network.